Phil Hendry.
And it is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome to the program this evening, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. And we're going to be dealing with a... We're going to be doing a little bit of... Well, I better not say, you know.
Well, I think you need...
No, I'm not going to... I'm going to tell the audience will gradually see what we have in store. It's nothing really profound, but I have decided after meetings this afternoon with a variety of my consultants, meaning I was talking to like a friend of mine, that we're going to begin to shift the material of this radio program into a more proactive direction and...
Please just spit it out and tell people what you're going to do.
What?
Spit it out, Phil, and let people know.
Well, no, I'm not going to. Later on I will. How about that? But we have made a profound decision in terms of how we're going to approach the radio show's material. And actually, we've actually started making the... I just said actually.
Yeah, you said actually like twice.
Yeah, that's like that one guy, nicely. You know, guy?
In Guys and Dolls? Yeah, sort of. Why?
Didn't he say things twice?
No, that was two times Eddie in Goodfellas. He says, I'm going to get the papers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Goodfellas, anyway. Yeah, I forgot about that guy. Two times Eddie, huh?
Well, I think that because he said things twice.
Yeah. In any event, so I was more like two times Eddie than nicely. But let that just sit there like a lump of something that came from a dog, and which end you can well imagine.
The rear end.
Man, you don't have to say it. You know, just pretty much said it.
Sorry.
We'll just let it sit there like something that came out of a dog's rear end. Now, you happy?
Yeah.
And move on here on the radio program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. And at philhenryshow.com, get a black stage pass, which has nothing to do with, racism, bud, so please don't even say it.
All right.
A backstage pass, and with that backstage pass, you are admitted to a wonderful world of audio entertainment, audio comedy, fun, frivolity, all kinds of stuff that only the Phil Hendry Show can provide. We can't even provide that kind of entertainment that you find on our website on the radio because we'd be arrested, tortured, and then executed for the things that we do on our website at philhenryshow.com.
Excuse me, and pardon me, I'm having a problem with my throat tonight, Phil, and so if people can't hear me... I want to say that was very irresponsible.
What was?
What you just said.
It's true.
Hold on, bud.
No, it is not true. You would not get executed and arrested for the things you do on your website.
No, I said if we did that stuff that we do on the website on the air, we'd be arrested, tortured, and executed.
That is absolutely absurd.
All right, well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you really believe that?
I'm kidding around, okay? God, you guys are something else.
But, I mean, you...
I'm kidding around. Is this going to turn into a talk show topic?
Well, Phil, the things you say on this program...
The things I say on this program, I say, and people can take them for what they're worth. Maybe nothing, maybe something, maybe a whole lot. But I dare say that there isn't anybody with a reasonable mind, an individual with a reasonable mind, a mind that has not been... polluted by chemicals, a mind that has not been injured, God forbid, a mind that is, you know, you were born with your brain in your skull. You're not a drug addict, alcoholic, narcotics, right?
Well,
could be a narconon.
Or a narconon member who's going to believe that we would be arrested and tortured and executed for the stuff that we do on our show. Maybe by our subscribers. Anyway, welcome to the show, and the first order of business that I have for you... Oh, I want to mention the one-man show, very exciting news. Looks like, well, I better not say. Well, I think I will say. No, I better not. Well, I will.
Oh.
All right, hold on. The one-man show, March. And just to give you sort of a feel for what's happening, I dare say this could be the first few shows would be a full-on sellout. I don't even know if we're going to be able to sell tickets for the first few shows, to be honest with you, because I think they're already sold out, if what happens, what I think is going to happen, happens. So we're very excited about that.
You ready to go?
Yes, that's a very good question. Are you ready to go?
We are. We are ready. Am I ready to go now? No, but by March we will be.
What's left?
What's left is we have to... What's wrong with your throat?
I don't know. I started out this morning feeling a little sick.
Do you need to go home?
No.
Because you sound like you've got a frog or something.
You sound like you got a frog up there.
You know, I may have a frog in my throat, but I've still got a folding knife.
All right, hold on, Margaret.
In my purse.
All right. What we have to do is continue to run it and run it and rehearse it and run it. You know, that's all. That's once you get the script written, which we do, once you have the blocking down, which we do, once you have the this and the that.
What's blocking?
Blocking is where you stand on the stage. Where do you want to stand? I'm going to stand here. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to stand in the middle. That's blocking.
Why do they call it that?
I don't know. It's just a term that they use.
Well, they block out the scene that way, right?
Yeah, I guess. The director wants to know where the people are.
The people.
Don't worry about it, okay? Let me just finish discussing this. So that is, that's that. And I feel very confident. I got to tell you, I feel this is the first time I'll be doing a show like this, and I feel far more confident than I did the very first time I did a radio show. And I've spent 40 years doing radio, and this is the first time I will have stepped on a stage to do a one-man show, and I'm infinitely more confident never mind.
Yeah, it's getting out of, you know, you're losing control of it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm losing control of it. Couple of things that we want to get to here right off the bat, only because we are fans of his music, and that makes, one, two, three, four of us. No, he's big, but I dare say probably not in the talk radio area. Lil Wayne is being sued, and he's being sued along with somebody else. I've got to figure out who this is. Why do we have two Tiger Woods stories, bud?
That is very interesting.
That's nice. I don't. Lil Wayne is being sued. We're going to get to that story. John Mayer is still being called a jerk. What's up with this guy, John Mayer, anyway? What's his story?
I don't know, man. He's doing a mea culpa or something.
He's out on tour, and he is also doing interviews, and he's apologizing for being a jerk.
He must be trying to just sort of rework his image or something, because apparently he said some things to Jennifer Aniston, and so he's doing that. The Harbaugh brothers haven't spoken since the Super Bowl. That's interesting. You know, I have a brother, but my brother's almost 10 years older than me. And it's difficult for me to imagine me being competitive with my brother in the same field. We're very opposite in terms of personality. My brother went into show business. He became an actor. And I've, gone into a sort of a different vein of that. So we're both have the same mentality in terms of artistry and stuff. But I just can't see us competing. And if we were competing, would I not talk to him? I guess brothers can get really...
Yeah, I mean, my brother and I, we didn't talk. You know, we played football, baseball. I didn't talk to my brother for about, 3 months. I didn't talk to my brother one time.
Why?
Because he kicked the crap out of me. I mean, he took me out, he beat me up, broke my jaw. So I couldn't talk to him.
Yeah, your jaw was wired shut.
Well, that's why you can't talk to him.
So your brother, you didn't talk to your brother not because you didn't want to talk to him.
Well, no. I mean, I did want to talk to him.
But your jaw was wired shut.
Yeah.
That's pretty violent. Your brother go to jail?
No. I mean, it was a boxing match.
A boxing match?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I got to tell him, it was not gloves. It was bare fists.
Why were you guys fighting with bare... Was this a... This was a boxing match?
Yeah, I mean, we were trying to do the way they did in the 19th century.
Oh, you were doing bare knuckle.
Yeah.
So you had a bare knuckle boxing match with your brother and he broke your jaw. You guys had one hell of a childhood.
Yes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. Make sure you get a backstage pass and watch the live streaming video of the show that is happening each and every night. Tiger Woods has also become friends with this kid, Lindsey Vonn, you know, the guy that injured himself. He's a downhill skier. And dig some of the things that are being said. Tiger Woods helped his, quote, friend Lindsey Vonn leave Austria after her skiing accident. Oh, did I say kid? According to a report on TMZ, Tiger Woods lent Lindsey Vonn his private jet to leave Austria. Despite this, Lindsey Vonn claims she and Tiger Woods are just friends. Her claim, plus there's a law against dating black people in Austria. And anyway...
Shut up, man.
I'm kidding, all right?
I wouldn't doubt it.
No, they're not like that. So in any event, despite the Lindsey Vonn claims that she and Tiger Woods are just friends, her claim was made after her divorce from her Thomas Vonn. Her divorce from her husband Thomas Vonn became final in January. I hope Lindsey is not stupid enough to get involved with Tiger Woods, said Ginny Lewis from Norman. He's trouble. Women with brains in their heads should be avoiding him like the plague. Who's Ginny Lewis?
I think she might have been one of the women that he dated.
All right, well, we'll get into the bottom. We'll get right down to the bottom of the barrel with this one. Actually, it already is at the bottom of the barrel. And other news and other sports and stuff like that here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Bring on the line here in just a moment. Where's our camera? Where's our camera? I'm going to bring on the line here in just a moment. Frank Gray, right, Margaret?
Yeah, I think Frank is on the phone. Is he?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Gray.
Pull the line down there, bud, because I can hear you. Got that line open, man. It's on the air. Do you understand?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You got the pot up.
I'm not expecting you to put somebody on the phone.
Robert, just pull the freaking phone pot down. All right, so we're going to have Frank Gray on the line here to talk a little bit about this Lil Wayne lawsuit. Lil Wayne, Young Money, sued for $15 million over Bedrock. The reason why I'm interested in this is because I saw a deposition that was being taken of Lil Wayne in perhaps this or another trial or another case, I should say. I'm not sure which, but you never saw a guy with less of an interest in the process. And quite frankly, you know, you ask yourself, well, I don't know. I mean, is this guy going to get away with this? Is this cat, maybe he knows better than the rest of us how to deal with the system, you know?
Well, what was he doing?
Well, he's being deposed by the opposing attorney. He's being sued, and the opposing attorney is talking to him, and Wayne is sitting there for all the world like he doesn't care. In fact, he keeps saying, I don't know. Well, Mr. Little Wayne or whatever, you know. I don't know. You know, he just, like, he couldn't be more bored, couldn't respect the system less. And at the end of this thing, I think I quoted him as saying, he looks at the attorney, when the attorney says, Your Honor, I'd like to have Mr. Little.
What name ain't Mr. Little?
I know, I'm kidding around. I'd like to have him. And he looks at this attorney and says, that guy right there, he's pointing to the judge. That guy there, he can't save you in the real world.
Well, that sounds almost like a threat.
Well, it's not really a threat, but, you know.
Now, you know it's not a threat.
I don't think he's that. I think what it was a statement of, out in the real world, there are no judges for you to appeal to when you are not getting the way that you want. But what Lil Wayne doesn't understand, or Lil Wayne.
Yeah, I got to get it. Lil Wayne, and if it was Lil Wayne, then it'd be Lil.
Yes, they'd say, you would say little, but it's not. It's Lil. Lil.
All right, it's.
Lil. Say it with me, Phil.
I don't have.
Just say it. Lil.
Lil.
No. It's Lil.
Lil.
No. You got it. Here's what you got to do.
What am I doing that isn't... I'm doing it right.
Wait, hold on. Both all you people are wrong. You talking about Lil Wayne?
I'm talking about Lil Wayne.
Yeah, Lil Wayne.
There, Robert did it.
I said Lil.
He just said Lil.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you say Lil?
All right.
When are you going to say it?
I just did.
Oh, you people are really driving me a...
Hey, wait a minute.
No, hold on. Don't worry about it. I'm saying it good enough. If I ain't saying it good, then, you know...
Well, that was great. I ain't saying it good.
Well, you know something? I'm doing the best that I can with what the good Lord gave me, okay? If it ain't good enough, go pound sand, baby. I'm kidding, Margaret. Put down the high heel. All right, so here's the story here. As fans anxiously await the release of Lil Wayne's highly anticipated The Carter 4 album... The Young Money rapper's legal woes continue to haunt him, currently on the second leg of what is sure to be one of 2011's highest-grossing tours. Weezy's been hit with a $15 million lawsuit over his Young Money crew's 2009 single, Bedrock, from their compilation album, We Are Young Money. All Hip Hop reports that a Waynesboro, Georgia rap group called Done Deal Enterprises has filed suit. And according to legal documents, Wayne and his lawyers have been ordered to appear in court on October the 12th. Wait a minute, man. How old is this story? 2011?
I didn't see that.
You nut.
Oh.
You gotta be kidding me.
Well, I can still talk to you. I got Frank Gray.
You got Frank Gray on the line, a story that Bud gave me that's over a year old. Let me get Frank on the phone here. Frank, sorry. It turns out that the story is, it's old.
Oh,
Well, Frank, don't blame me for this one, Frank.
Oh, come on. I've got better things to do, Bill. What did she do this time?
You talking about Margaret?
No, I'm talking about Dickman.
No, it's...
I got the wrong date.
You got the wrong date. What are you? Are you made of some kind of a disposable cheese? That's what I think when I think of you. You know what I'm... Do you get the picture that I'm laying out here for you, Dickman? Is your mind made of something that is biodegradable?
Well, if it was, that'd be good.
Yeah, that would be a good thing, Frank.
No, it wouldn't. Not if it's your brain, okay, Margaret? Not if it's your brain, okay? It's not good if it's your brain, Margaret, all right? Get a load of him, huh? Now, listen. When I ask you to make sure you prep Mr. Hendry, because she doesn't understand. Bud, are you there?
Yeah, right here.
All right, Mr. Hendry doesn't understand.
By the way, can I just interrupt for a minute? Frank Gray suffers from gender confusion.
He's babbling on again, and I can't take it, okay?
You talking about me?
No, my wife, Margaret. She's
sitting here quiet.
Well, no, I've got a tape of the show last night, and I've got to turn this off. How do I turn this off? Let me get Jason Jed, Monica. What happened to her?
Who's that?
Our son. Jason, get over here and turn this tape recorder off. Your mother is running his big fat yap.
He did.
Thanks. All right. As I said, and I'll repeat it, and I can say it a number of different ways. Standing on my head while urinating, I can say it dressed in a polo shirt. I can say it with while getting surgery. You've got to give me the right dates. When you give me the right dates, then I can do the job that I want to do, and I can feed my son. I can feed her. I can feed my wife. I can feed him, and I can feed myself. I can feed her. Okay, so what do you got, Bill?
What we have is this story. It's a story. It's out of date.
I understand it's out of date, but here's the thing about Lil Wayne. She is one of the top rappers in all of the world. She has sold millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of records, and she'll be sued until the cows come home.
What does that mean when the cow come home? Is that when Lil Wayne's going to die?
Is that when Lil Wayne's going to die?
You didn't say Lil. You have to...
Oh, would you close it down and shut it off, please? Of all the women in the world, I had to get him.
Okay, so what are you saying about Lil Wayne, then?
Lil,
sorry.
Yeah, what I'm saying about Lil Wayne is she is going to have to keep her trap shut, because every time she opens her big fat mouth... She gets sued, and the rest of the group of the thing that whatever the thing is that she's got,
the rap group.
No. It's not. It's more than a rap group. It's a moneyed enterprise. It's a corporation. It's a multinational, polluting, belching, just toxic waste producing corporation.
Hold on, Frank. You're talking about a musician and a touring group of performers.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Don't you know who it is you're talking about?
Well, when you say a corporation, the first thing I think of are pollutants. And
I guess there's a lot of people that would say.
that's very stale. You know, we're talking about a musician. She makes a lot of money. I don't care whether she makes her money. I don't care if she gets up on stage and dissects frogs, and people pay her for that. She's a great performer, and we have to respect it.
Well, you respect it as long as he's making money.
Oh, is that right? Okay, well, thanks very much, Padre. The point that I'm making here, Mr. Hendry, that when you talk about, you know, I'm tired of this.
Okay, so that was Frank Gray, attorney, entertainment lawyer, talking about Lil Wayne and what her problems are.
I don't, you know, Phil, I know that Frank has the gender confusion. Please don't mock him.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to sit, grin, and bear it. Do you remember the old term, grin and bear it?
No.
I don't know.
Well, there was a phrase called grin and bear it. It meant just to sit and grin and bear it. And when you grin, you just sit there and go, yee. You can see the grin. Your teeth are, well, your teeth, Bud, won't reflect much light because of the brown color.
Oh, God. Yeah, she's right about that, Bud.
Yeah, well, I brush my teeth every day.
I don't know what you brush your teeth with, man. Coffee grounds?
Ha ha ha.
That's great. All right, so that was a whole lot of nothing. Thanks a lot. A year-old story, Bud.
I thought it said 2012, and...
And it says 2011.
I thought that was a 2.
Oh, I see. We also have a snowstorm that's happening. I probably ought to be talking about that and more. We come back. The world-famous... What a way to kick the show off. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Woo!
Henry.
I don't know how many of you are like me, probably not many, and that's only good for you. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Truth Is Our Bitch and Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard. And we want to apologize for the very weak start to our show.
You don't say that. You don't point that out to the people.
Yeah, you got to be positive, you know.
So wasn't that bad?
No, it was bad, but you don't point it out.
In any event... no, it wasn't. It was what it was. I just believe that radio shows, like life, sometimes it ain't going to. Sometimes, but there's a lesson to be learned in everything. Now.
Yeah, that's great. Nice save.
Great, thanks. How many of you like to watch, and I could get a big fat zero here, but this is what's happened in my life. I'm into this English Premier League soccer. Okay?
You're into what?
Premier League soccer. Soccer.
Soccer?
Soccer.
It's football. Football.
Margaret, we're going to call it soccer for the purposes of our radio show, because we're in America. The United States of America. Okay?
Phil.
No. The United States of America, which means we play a brand of football here called American football, and that's what we'll call football. For our purposes here in America, it's going to be soccer. Not soccer. I misspoke.
What about Porkla?
Porkla?
That's what he called Porky Pig because he confused him with Tesla.
Porky Pig and Tesla?
Yeah, remember that?
Oh, yeah. Boy, you really had a freaking problem that night, didn't you?
Just Tuesday night.
No, not Porkla. Would you get that out of here with Porkla? And we're not talking about Edward Ter, whatever that guy's name was. Tesla. We're talking about Sockler. Soccer. Sockler.
If you called it foot... Phil, let me just weigh in on this, if you don't mind, all right? I have a very bad throat cold, and yet I am trying to help. All right?
Go ahead, Margaret. I don't want you to strain yourself.
I'm not going to strain it. What I want to say to you is this. The game is called Futbol. F-U-T-B-O-L. Now, they pronounce it football because... That's the way it's pronounced.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced fut. If you look at it...
Wait, hold on.
What?
What do you mean it's pronounced futball?
Did I say fut... Robert, did I say futball?
No, you said futbol.
Futbol.
Futbol. And that is how you pronounce...
Futbol?
Yeah, it's called futbol. Don't you listening?
Bud?
Sorry.
Okay, that's great. What point are we making here?
Well, the point we're making here is what is it called? It's called futbol, but they changed it to football.
Because that's how it's pronounced. That's what you're telling me. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes, Phil, it makes sense to Europeans, all right?
Oh, well, that's great. Well, we're not talking to Europeans right now. We're talking to the Phil Hendry audience, which could or could not be either European, American, or even Earthling, for all I know. But we're talking about... The Premier League, and I enjoy this. I don't know why, but if I was to be honest with myself, the reason why I'm enjoying soccer, the reason why I'm watching the English Premier League games, the reason why Everton is now my team because I almost got beat up by some Liverpool guys back in the day.
That really true?
Yeah, that was the story I told, you know.
Yeah, you went down to Liverpool in a wine bar, right?
I was in a wine bar, and I was wearing the wrong colored scarf and some Liverpool... Actually, the guys that saved my life were Liverpool fans. They said, listen... You're an American, so you don't know any better, but you're wearing an Everton scarf, and you're in a Liverpool wine bar. And I said, yeah. And they said, Liverpool Soccer, the football club. Oh, I said, oh. So take this off. So they pulled this thing off of me.
What did they pull off of you?
His pants.
Ow. His pants. They pulled a scarf off.
Oh, you were wearing the Everton scarf.
Yes. And, of course, I tweeted this, and, you know, your tweets go all over the world, and occasionally you get tweeted, you know, someone tweets back at you, because Twitter is like a big tree, and we're all nice little birds, and we're tweeting at each other, and some jackass tweeted back at me. He wasn't a bird, he was a jackass, and I think he was over there in what they call Merseyside. Do you know what that is, Robert?
No.
I do.
What?
It's the near the hospital.
The hospital?
What do you mean the hospital?
The Mercy Hospital.
What Mercy Hospital?
He's talking about the one you mentioned last night in Orlando.
Right?
No. No. Nice guess, though.
Thanks.
Merseyside is the Mersey River in England.
Let me get a map.
Never mind. It's Liverpool, man. It's Liverpool. So I got a tweet from one of these guys over there, one of these soccer fans, saying I almost got my ass kicked, but my life was saved by these Liverpool guys. He says, we've really calmed down recently, Merseyside. Things just aren't the way they used to be. Like the good old days when they used to beat the crap out of anybody, regardless of their point of origination, you know.
Well, I think that, you know, Phil, if you get into the soccer mentality or the, you don't want me to call it, but the football, I think what they are about over there ultimately is loyalty to their team, is enjoying the British culture, and I think third or fourth on the list are your hurt American feelings.
I was not asking anybody to bow down to American culture. I'm simply, you know, saying that I was tweeting from America, so all I said was I told the story. I just told the story, and I said this happened, and this guy's tweeting back like, yeah, boy, the good old days, man. That would have been fantastic. Like, you know, it would have been great to kick your ass, Henry. He said, well, you know, I mean, you're certainly welcome to try. And then...
You didn't say that.
Why not?
Yeah, get your ass kicked.
That's right. The guy's going to get on a plane and fly here, find me, and kick my ass. And he's got to be assured that he will kick my ass. He's getting on a plane.
Can we not do this, please?
All right, sorry. So, in any event, very nice guys. I was in this...
I'm just going to ask a question.
What?
What do you mean you was in a Liverpool bar?
I was in, there's Liverpool, the city, and then there's the football team, Liverpool.
What do you call them?
They don't have a nickname. They call them Big Red, or they call them Red, or the Reds. But they don't have team nicknames the way we do here in the States, where it's an official name. The fans just tag them with things. But basically, the club is the name of the club. So in this case, it's the Liverpool Football Club. The other team in Liverpool is Everton. Both of these teams are very, very old. They've been around since the 19th century. They play in stadiums that are within the city, the same city, but it's kind of like, you know, any major city in America with two baseball teams. So, but in England, as it is in the rest of Europe, and I would imagine the rest of the world, man, they take their sports to a whole new level in terms of fan commitment. And I mentioned to you that over there, you know, the fans are involved to an extent that we would never ever see here in the United States. The fans are involved involved in their favorite sport of football, soccer, what they call the beautiful game. Okay,
who calls it that?
Fans, they call it what?
The fans call it the beautiful game.
Beautiful game.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little flat, isn't it?
Well.
Oh my God! He looked at my chest.
Hey!
I saw that.
No, he didn't.
My eye wandered.
Phil, I don't care. Get him insurance money and get that lazy eye fixed now.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not kidding.
Well, you're not going to take a high heel and drive it through this guy's eye while it's still lazy, are you?
Well, it might wake it up.
All right, in any event, so these cats are in this bar, and I'm looking at this bar, and I go, oh, wow, look at this, it's a wine bar. I'm not a big wine drinker. In fact, I think drinking wine in the afternoon is about that close to a full-on just alcoholic. You know, in other words, you drink enough wine, two glasses of wine, and I'm on my ass. I mean, I'm laying in the street. I'm now a wino, officially. It's a really heavy alcoholic drink to be lunching with, but that's just me. But these cats are in there, and they're getting their load on, man, and I got nothing to do. I'm on vacation. So I proceed to walk into this bar, and I'm standing there, and it might have been one of those things where everybody should have looked at me like, who's this guy with the pear on him? Boy, hey, look at over here. This guy, you know, whatever they did. And immediately two guys walk up to me and go, hey, how you doing, well, you know, mate? And I'm doing it. Come on over here. And they bring me over to their table, and they pull the scarf off of me.
And they were basically saying, that's the wrong scarf.
They were saying to me, you got the mate. He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. They marked me as an American right off the bat without even hearing my accent. They knew I was a Yank. And I think it's the same way that we can recognize Europeans almost. You know, there's this just a certain way that Europeans wear the clothes they wear and the look and...
Yeah, Europeans, they got, like, their hair's weird.
Yeah, you know, like you have a man like a grandfather is going to have, like, a fright wig, you know.
That's true. The people, even the business people, will have sort of a spiked do or something.
Well, what, I don't know, but you're right. There are certain... Look, so they said, you're from the States. I said, yeah, I'm from the States. And he said, well, that scarf you have on is an Everton scarf, and this is a Liverpool establishment or whatever. I said, okay. They didn't have to tell me anymore. He said, yeah, it could be a little bit dangerous for you. I said, well, thank you. Ha, ha, ha. He said, will you join us for a drink? I said, sure, you know. And for about a solid hour, I sat there slugging down this red wine with these guys like, holy God, man, I had a headache the next day, but... You know,
these guys did they save your life, man? Really?
I don't know, man. I mean, it was a bright, sunny day. It was a part of Liverpool that was very nice. It didn't look like any rough part of town. It was a very. It was traveled by shoppers and tourists. And who knows? They might have kicked me out or give me a hard time. Who knows what they'd do? Maybe they would have kicked my ass. But this is the extent that they are involved in soccer. All right, we have little Ian Anderson.
Yeah, I got Ian. Hold on for a minute, hey, Ian. Yeah, you're up next. All right. Yeah, the guy told me that...
Bud, you with these conversations with people, huh?
Sorry, just talking to him.
That's fine, man, but we'll get to him after we do our break. And we'll get into a little bit of the discussion there with little Ian as to English soccer, European soccer, football, or whatever the hell you want to call it, Margaret. And they're coming to... They're not close to the end of their season. The season ends in May or June. But they're into a very interesting part of their season where you now begin to know who is going to make the playoffs and which teams will be relegated. This is a very interesting... Is anybody listening to me?
I'm sorry. I was looking for some...
I'm looking through my Rolodex.
Okay, we'll be right... If there's anybody still listening, we'll be right back and talk to you in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
yeah,
is
Ian.
Our bitch.
Ian.
The Phil Hendry
Ian.
Show.
Ian! Hey, Ian! Ian! Ian!
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Little Ian Anderson joining us from Southern California. He's actually moved here. He works at Hollywood Park and does a variety of... He's a hot walker and assists in the training of horses for the trainers that he works for, as well as the owners. Blackpool. I'm trying to figure out. I'm going to get Ian on the line here. They play at Villa Park. Ian, how are you doing? How are you doing, Ian?
Yes, sir. I'm doing right good, Mr. Haley. It's good to be on the air with you.
All right. What's your team?
It's my Birmingham Football.
Birmingham?
Right.
Football Club.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and they're not a Premier League team, are they?
No, right now they're a championship team, and they're doing the best they can right now, but it's quite an uphill struggle, you know, for them to get back in on Premier League. But I think they keep on playing well, and this year's not going to be the year. But
So this is what I want to talk to you about. There's all these teams in England, and what I was saying to Dan during the break, I think it's true. The great thing, I think, about English soccer, professional soccer, amateur soccer, all these clubs are under the same umbrella, right?
Right. Well, they play for the same organization.
Right.
So the England football, and it's all the same organization, but they've got different leagues and different divisions, right?
Right.
And they've got different... It's sort of like different skill levels, you know, like a video game, you know, you beat a skill level.
Right.
And Birmingham is in the second level.
All right, so Birmingham is in what's called the Championship League.
Right. Well, it's called Championship Football, which is a level below the number one league in England, which is Premier League.
Right, and that's called Barclays Premier League?
Right. Barclays is a sponsor. And Barclays is like a lager.
Barclays is a lager, and they sponsor the Premier League. So it's like a corporate sponsorship.
Right, right.
Okay, and your team is a second-level team. Now, Tell me about the whole idea of promotion and relegation in football.
Well, it's like if you have a football team and they're no good, or if you play video games and you are no good, and your video game is no good, and they throw you out of the room. You know, they tell you you're not allowed to play with us no more because you're terrible. You know, it's just the worst kind of video gaming I've ever seen in my life. Like, my brother used to throw me out of the room, you know, and say, don't ever come back in because it's rubbish the way you play.
Right.
That's luck. And it was very traumatic for me, you know, and I never quite got over it, right?
And all right, you didn't get over your brother throwing you out of the room for being a lousy video game player.
Right. And
but how is that like English football?
How's it like English football?
Right.
Well, it's not. It's got nothing to do with it, really, except for the trauma. There's a trauma associated with it.
Well, if it's got nothing to do, what I want here is an applicable.
Well, right, but well, I mean, it's like it is applicable from the trauma. If Birmingham wins the Championship League, then they get promoted to Premier League.
That's what I wanted to get to. How many teams get promoted to Premier League from the Championship League?
The two teams that play for the Championship in the Championship League, they get promoted.
Wait, can I say something?
Go ahead.
What do you mean, win a championship?
If you win the Championship League, you've got to play in the Championship first, right?
What?
All right, hold on. I think I understand. The Championship League is just the name of the league.
Right, it's like Championship League, right.
Okay. You play for the championship of the Championship League.
What? What kind of dumbass kid?
Will you shut up, bud?
That's the way. Hey, mate, that's the way we do it over there, right? We're not going to do it like the Yanks do it. We do it like we do it, right?
That don't make no sense, Carl. Championship. I'm going to play to the championship.
It made sense when I said to Mr. Henry. It made a lot of sense to Mr. Henry. It might not make sense to a dumb bloke like you. You not understand anything I say.
I understand, but...
Will you shut up, bud, and let me do it, okay?
Call him a dumb bloke.
I call you dumb bloke. That's right, I call you dumb bloke.
All right, so he called you a dumb bloke. He's acting like a dumb bloke.
What's bloke?
Will you forget about what bloke is? So,
Like, Mr. Henry, it's like if you play for the championship and you win, then you get promoted to a new league.
What about a guy to win a Premier League?
The guys who win a Premier League, right, then they go on and they play in the European Football Championship. But you win the Premier League, but you also get to play on in the Champions League.
Now, wait a minute, man. You said that there's a Champions League. Oh, hold on. I'll do it, okay?
No, wait, I'll do it.
I'll do it. Ian, there's Championship League in England, which is the second division.
That's right. And then there's the European Champions League.
The European Champions League, and that's all the great teams from all over Europe.
That's right.
And you can only play in that.
If you win a champion league.
No, you dumbass. It's if you're the...
Don't call me a dumbass, man. Hold on, will you?
If you win what league?
If you win it, you've got to win Barclays Premier League. It'll be one of the top two, or I think it's like top four teams in Barclays Premier League.
You don't win a champion league. How do you be in a championship?
Why don't you jackasses be quiet like I told you to so I can figure this out? There's the league name. There's the actual thing that's called a championship. There's all these divisions. You guys need to shut up, man, because there's a lot of stuff you got to understand. Now, Ian, one of the things I want to ask you is there's promotion. There's also relegation, right? What's relegation?
Right. Relegation is like this, Mr. Henry. What happens if you're the last three teams in a league, then you get relegated down to another division. Like right now, the Premier League, it's Queen's Park Rangers, Aston Villa.
Aston Villa, is that in Birmingham?
You're right. Aston Villa is like a Birmingham club, right. And then there's also Wigan. And then there's also...
What's Wigan?
It's a team.
Well, you call that a team? Wigan.
Yeah, what's the name of the town, Wigan?
No, the name of the town is Bud Dickmanville. It's where all the bad rubbish teams play.
Bud Dickmanville, yeah. Well, you,
I'm going to kill you, Bud. Be quiet.
Why does he get to say bad stuff?
I'm trying to talk to him.
Right, Bud Dickmanville is where all the rubbish soccer teams are.
No rubbish soccer team playoffs on Little Ian Town.
There's no such thing as Little Ian Town. There's no such thing.
No such thing as Bud Dickmanville.
Yes, there is, because I went and saw a rubbish game there the other day. It's the worst rubbish game I ever saw. And I said, where am I? And he said, you're in Bud Dickmantown.
Aren't you insane of it?
No, I think he's getting the better of you. Shut up. Just, you know, you deserve it. You deserve it. All right.
Sounds like you're gagging over there, Mr. Henry. It's probably all the air you're having to breathe, all the stale air that you're having to breathe.
All right, so in any event, there is the three teams that get relegated, and then three teams get promoted. And there's all these divisions in English soccer. Is it possible for a team at the very bottom rung of English soccer to win it all?
It's possible. It's not probable. I don't know if it's ever really happened, but yes, it's possible that a team can rise up and rise up and rise up and all the way to the top.
Can I go through the top and go all the way, like to Mars?
No, it's only after I kick your ass, and your ass will fly all the way to Mars.
What?
I can't understand you, man.
I said I kick your ass goes all the way to Mars.
My horse?
You know something, you're the stupidest bloke I've ever talked to. It's not, no Yank understands soccer. No Yank understands football. I kick your
Phil
ass.
Hendry.
Kick my house?
Your ass.
My house.
Shores, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch. Along with Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard, I am Phil Hendry. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Thank you, little Ian Anderson, for that elucidating look at English soccer. You guys are the biggest idiots.
Look, talk me an idiot, man. He's talking about a rubbish team.
Said, and I do want to approach. Said that Dickmanville or Dickmanshire would have a rubbish team.
Dickmanshire?
That's what he called. He said that the Dickmanshire team in England. I know he was kidding.
He was kidding you, Bud. And the reason why I was kidding you is because you guys ask stupid questions. All right?
What do you talk about stupid question?
Hey, does the top team go right through the roof to Mars?
Well, I was just trying to find out about it.
No, kind of. You were giving him a hard time like you do all the time, and he got you back good. He said the Dickmanshire team is rubbish.
There is no Dickmanshire.
You don't know that.
I'll bet you money. Well, I better not.
Yeah, you better not is right. Because you just, you know, with your luck, you'll find that there's Dickmanshire.
No, they don't have Leonardshire.
I bet you they got Leonardsville or something.
I forget about what they got, okay? He knows soccer better than you. I don't know what the hell you guys think you're talking about. Where do you get off? Just listen and learn. Listen and learn. We can go a long way in this world if more of us would just shut our big fat mouths and listen.
Well, what do you call what you do, Phil? You bip, 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 all day long.
That's my job. I talk. But one thing I don't do is I don't tell people, listen to me as I talk and learn. I never say that. In fact, I say, be careful, because what I'm about to say could probably get you killed.
What?
I'm just kidding, all right? So, welcome back to the show, 877-876-PHIL. We're also online at philhendryshow.com. Backstage Pass is your entree to the glory that is the Phil Hendry website. We've got thousands of hours of audio material there. We also have our video cast, which we're on video right now. We have the Phil Hendry Show, Phil TV video cast each and every night, archives of our video, the podcast. We also have our free podcast that you can access. Episode 121 is out there right now. I think it is
Doug Danger.
Doug Danger, yeah, Doug Danger talking about, that eyeball-to-eyeball thing.
Oh, that's right. It was, he was saying he was going to go eyeball to eyeball. Hold on. He was going to go eyeball to eyeball.
I know.
Would you please be quiet, Robert?
Margaret.
Would you please? I know this. It was Doug Danger, and he was going to go eyeball to, let's see, I can't remember. Well, I don't know.
Why do you tell people to be quiet and you don't know?
Because I don't know.
Anyway, it's Doug Danger from an episode where he said, yes, he's going to go eyeball to eyeball with people and say, ask them who they're voting for. And if they're voting for, the wrong guy, he's going to go, oh, yeah, well, I'm voting for so-and-so. Now who are you voting for? It was an explosive moment in radio history, and we have it for you on our podcast today. And you can download that over at iTunes. And I almost stuck my glasses into my eyeball.
Good thing you're not doing eyeball to eyeball, or to eyeball.
Yeah, three eyeballs.
Well, the three eyeballs, yeah.
Would the two of you please shut it? Just shut it. Pretend as if you don't have mouths so much as you have flus.
They're looking at you.
Yeah.
What do you mean flu?
It's something you close off a chimney. All right, so in any event, get a load of this. Ladies and gentlemen, Maine girls, they are the basketball players, I suppose, for a high school team. They're scolded after disturbing Nazi salute. That's right, a Maine girls varsity basketball program in southern Maine finds itself under fire for one of the ugliest actions imaginable, giving a Nazi salute.
My God.
Hold on. Because I think I kind of know what's going on here, but then again, I guess I should read the news story, shouldn't I?
Yeah, we got a lot of people that all a long time, they'll write a letter to say, Mr. Emery, he's full of it. He got his head parked because he gave an opinion and didn't even know.
Yeah, you got to read the story first.
Okay, I will. Boy, that took you long enough.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, they write in.
I get it. They write in, they say, hey, why don't you read the story, Phil, before you give an opinion?
No, they don't.
Well, what do they say then, man? I got to do this.
They write in, they say, Mr. Henry gave an opinion, and he didn't give a, you know, didn't read the story first.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I just said.
No, you didn't.
Yes, bud, I'm talking to Robert, not you. If you shut up, then I'm not going to waste any time. I just said that. They're writing in, and they're saying...
Why didn't you relax, Phil? You know, you live longer.
Yeah, relax, Phil, you live... Hey, why is that stuck? Did we freeze up the website? What's going on over here, man? I swear to God, somebody's going to die. All right, I'm kidding. All right, so these girls are on a basketball team, as reported by the Associated Press, and a variety of Maine outlets, including Bangor's CBS affiliate, WLBZ, a photo surfaced online depicting three members of the Greeley, Maine High School basketball team celebrating a Nazi salute. Two of the girls were actually giving the salute, while a third beneath her friends accepting the salute with a peace sign. While the preceding events that transpired the pose have not officially been revealed, the girls were all wearing their basketball uniforms in the pose, and they reportedly referred to one of their teammates as Hitler. Now, the salute and ugly tweets that surfaced were apparently a disturbing reference to the three girls' dislike of a particular Jewish teammate, with the trio also tweeting multiple references to Hitler and other anti-Semitic trains of thought. The tweets pointed out by WLBZ left little doubt about the girls' feelings about their Jewish teammates. Here is a one tweet dated December the 24th says, so Jewish to have it's so Jewish to have practice on Christmas Eve day. Another says, if blank picked me up, she would have made me do sprints, then put me in a gas chamber. Well,
that is absolutely unacceptable, Phil.
It to openly tweet it, but I'm just questioning whether these kids are just dumb kids or whether they're really, you know, woo, indoctrinated into the Nazi thing.
You're kidding me? They're talking about Nazis and everything.
Yeah, to me, you know.
I'm just saying, they're dumb white kids, okay? And a dumb white kid is dumb. You know, and these kids...
Well, that's a little racist.
No, it's not. These kids are on this lily white basketball team. I'm just telling you, okay? I mean, you know, their kids are kids. The whole Nazi thing probably has, for many young people, especially this generation of young people, very far removed from what Nazis were, to them, it is some kind of a cartoon. You know, it's a bunch of really weird uniforms, weird-looking guys, and funny-looking salutes, and Hitler and gas chambers and this and that. Now, if this is the worst of the tweets, what I'm trying to say, this is the worst of the tweets, where the girl said it's so Jewish to have practice on Christmas Eve, then it sounds to me like a bunch of kids who think it's cool for whatever reason, to knock Jews, and I believe it has something to do with the fact they don't like this one girl who's Jewish, maybe. I don't know whether these kids are actually don't like Jews, or they just got a problem with this one Jewish girl, and so it's really Jewish. And then the thing is, so-and-so making me do wind sprints just like Hitler, because they're going to put me in a gas chamber.
You know, Phil, you're trying to find excuses for these three scum. Now... Hold on, Phil.
I just don't...
Hold on. If you want me to get on the phone here, my husband Frank, who's Jewish, if you want me to get on the phone here, Mr. Wireman, who's Jewish...
No, I don't. But I'm just saying, even those two gentlemen, Frank and Harvey, Jewish, yes, would understand that these are some dumb kids that need to have their, you know, their priorities set straight, and the only people who can do that are adults, their parents, and their teachers. And I think that that's kind of what's happening here. Or they're really seriously, like, warped, indoctrinated kids. I just don't see it, you know.
So you think it's okay to give a Nazi salute?
No, I did not say that, man. I didn't say that.
What are you saying?
Am I talking to myself here or something?
Well, Phil, it's not clear.
I'm making it as clear as I can. These three girls are three punk kids at this basketball team in Maine, bunch of white kids, and they see these images flitting across television, across books in their history class, and it's a Nazi, and it's a salute, and it's Hitler, and it's all of this bad stuff, and they've got a Jewish teammate, and they hear about Jews, and to them, they're far removed from the reality of Holocaust and the horror of all of that stuff, and they probably haven't even seen some of the documentary footage. And to them, it's just like this big, ugly cartoon. Now, I'm not forgiving it. You know, any parent that sees their kid doing this stuff probably ought to sit them down and say, let me tell you, you know, about the facts of life. I don't know.
Well, not unless the parent themselves are members of a closet Nazi cell. And this is why I'm thinking...
Oh, you know, you're getting really weird now.
You don't know, Mr. Henry, unless there's the Nazi... A Nazi.
Yeah.
What, are you nervous?
You can't know.
And by the way, it's Nazi, not Nazi.
You said Nazi.
I do because of it's a gag.
Oh, let's laugh about it now.
No, we're not laughing about anything. So the three girls are reportedly minors, so their identities remain protected. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because kids screw up, and they screw up bad sometimes. If they haven't killed anybody, which they haven't, they haven't assaulted anybody, which they haven't, they may just be, and I think they are, three dumb kids. What the hell? You put their name out there on a national news story, and next thing you know, the whole family's getting death threats, and more damage is done.
You know, this surprises me. You used to be so very outspoken and strong in your opinion about this kind of thing.
I am still, but these are kids. My whole thing when it comes to kids is different. I say you still got a chance to teach. You still got a chance to find out what the hell's wrong with them and teach, expose them to certain things, etc. I'll bet you anything that that's the problem. I got money that says that's the problem, and I got money that says the thing they're going to do if they do it right with these kids is have them visit the Holocaust Museum, bring some Holocaust survivors in to talk to them, bring some any GIs that survived going the World War II who went into those camps and saw what they saw, and sit these kids down, because this works. This stuff works. When you take these kids and you sit them down and you show them exactly what that period was, and it straightens their brains out a little bit. All right, we're going to take a break now.
Where's this? They're talking about going to where the Nazis was, right?
No, the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. You guys don't even know where that is, huh?
I know where Washington is.
Great. Well, it's in there. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is the head coach of Belmar Academy's varsity football squad, and as well a frequent contributor to the Phil Hendry Show. In fact, last night we had a very interesting debate between Vernon Dozier and Herb Sewell, and that was on mothers. And I'm not going to get into that topic, but it was pretty interesting. As Herb rolled out his mother-son sex segment, which I agree with you, Margaret. I don't know if we're going to do that again.
That was, I mean, there are some things that I can stomach, and there are other things, Phil. You often criticize my personal habits. If you want to see vomit come from my nostrils, reintroduce that segment. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Did you have to put it that way?
Yes, I did.
God.
Oh, shut up, man. What are you doing, bud?
God. Ow.
What are you with the whole melodrama, huh?
I don't know.
He does it for attention, don't you, bud?
No, I do it because I like football. Ow! It hurt.
Yeah, I hope it did. Sting?
A little bit.
Boy, you got him. You caught him right in the mouth.
Right.
Bud, come on.
No, I didn't.
Well, I don't know what you did.
I hope I loosened up a couple of those lower teeth so we can get them replaced with something that's straight and white.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, boy. All right, so let's move on here. We're going to be talking here with Vernon Dozier, and we'll be discussing with Vernon a very interesting story. It's the Harbaugh brothers. Is there really that much bad blood? Is there any bad blood? Why have they not talked to each other in 2 weeks since the end of the Super Bowl, which was won by the Baltimore Ravens by brother Jim, John Harbaugh? And with us is Vernon Dozier. I'm sorry, Vernon, I'm spaced on... I know the Ravens won the game.
Yeah, the Ravens won the game, Phil, and it was brother John Harbaugh whose Baltimore Ravens defeated brother Jim, the San Francisco 49ers. And so there you go.
Which team did you like?
Well, I like both of them. I think I can understand. I think I had a similar attitude as you. I thought Joe Flacco had to have a great game. He did have a great game. You love to see a football player respond to the pressure the way that Joe Flacco did. You love to see a football player like Ray Lewis lead his team and inspirationally and spiritually the way he did. You love to see the defensive play of a great veteran like Ed Reed, who's, as you heard mentioned many times in the broadcast, is probably one of the great center fielders to play in professional football.
By the way, when we say a center fielder, what position are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about free safety. But Ed Reed, you know, free safety is the last line of defense for a football team. That's the guy that, quite frankly, he's the last man, he's the Alamo, if you will, Phil, last man standing.
Excuse me, Vernon, it's Margaret.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you mean by the last man standing?
Talk about the last guy.
Yeah, what I mean, I'll take care of it, Dickman.
That's what Phil said.
I said it.
He said it, bud. Be quiet.
Margaret, the last man, the last line of defense for any football team is a free safety. He plays, we call center field. He's back, way back, covering on pass plays, and if need be, he's covering on a running play that may get loose. We have another defender called a strong safety. Strong safety is playing pass protection. He's also playing a run, and a strong safety often comes up on a running play and moves up on a running play and makes a tackle or is involved in the tackle. So. Ed Reed had a great game, Phil, and to see John Harbaugh win a game like that. And I got to tell you something. If I were John Harbaugh and Jim wasn't talking to me, I'd probably just leave a little message, say, let's bury the hatchet, and quit being a big fat baby. I beat you. I beat you, and I beat you good. I'd rub it in a little bit, but... I think in terms of brothers...
Why would you rub it in?
Well, I think in terms of brothers, there's always something to rub in. I mean, there's obviously some bad blood. Not bad blood, but I think there's a history between these two boys, two young men who are now middle-aged men, I should say. And I think there's a history probably where they kind of needled each other and got on each other's nerves. And the next thing you know, you have this big game and you can start to really get some payback on the great many things that went wrong. Down through the years.
We're talking to Vernon Dozier, head coach of the Belmar Academy varsity football team. They've won three division championships there. They won a Southern Section championship and countless league, not countless, but something about 11 league titles.
We won our 12th league title this past season, Phil.
Well, congratulations on that. And we're talking about Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh, the head coach, respectively, of the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. You have a brother that coaches.
That is correct, yes.
What does your brother coach?
My brother coaches, he's a little bit, I coach football and I've coached baseball. My brother Zach has coached both baseball and lacrosse. He has coached women's basketball and he's coached softball. I have never been a huge fan of any of those sports with the exception of perhaps baseball. I've done what I've done. He's done what he'd do.
What happened to you guys? Why do you have the bad blood?
We don't have bad blood. I love my brother very much.
Well, when's the last time you talked to him?
Well, we haven't spoken in a couple of years.
And 2 years.
That's correct. Yeah. It hurts.
Well, so Vernon, I don't want to pry, but we did want to talk about this. What would cause you two guys not to talk for 2 years?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil. It was a combination of betrayal. It was a combination of betrayal and bad information. I told my brother Zach, he was, I think at the time, He was 2 years younger than me, and now I consider him to be 4 years younger than me, because I think, and that's what I say to him. I know he is 2 years, but I still say to him, you are 4 years, and you're getting younger and younger because of what you did. Now, what he did was, he was coaching the women's lacrosse at Chablis Academy at the time, which was a woman's four-year liberal arts college. And I said to him that he didn't know anything about, and he didn't know anything about lacrosse. I said, you really have got to be putting me on if you think you're going to take it. I said, how are you going to coach it? He said, I'll figure it out. I said, well, what is lacrosse? And you should have been there. He said, well, it's you take a stick and you throw a ball. I said, boy, I can't wait to see your first game. I said, this is going to be beautiful. You know, so I rubbed it in a little bit.
Well, so you were rubbing it in as an older brother?
Yeah, I was right. But, I was basically saying to him, you're going to coach lacrosse? You better, if I were you, I'd quit and leave town under the cover of darkness. And I was serious, because what will happen is, at Chablis Academy, I don't know if you know anything about that town, but they love their lacrosse. They've got a long history of lacrosse championships, and Zach takes over this team. Well, make a long story short, I rubbed it in, I shoved his face in it, kicked dirt on, and they wound up winning the championship. And
all right, hold the story right there, okay?
Well, I just gave away the
Well, hold the story, because I know there's more to it as we talk here with Vernon Dozier about his brother Zach and their brotherly rivalry. The Harbaugh brothers apparently haven't talked for a couple of weeks, although they now have a little clip of them talking about a Super Bowl rematch. Wouldn't that be great? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Vernon Dozier and brothers and their rivalries in sports in just a moment. PhilHendryShow.com. There it is there.
That kid right there.
Thank you, bud.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's Phil Hendry Show.
Phil
Hendry Show.
It's Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico here each and every night, Monday through Friday, from 10 until 1 on the West Coast, and of course, 1 to 4 on the East Coast. And we're very, very happy to be with you. With us is Vernon Dozier, the head coach of the Belmar Academy Titans. Is that the name of your team, Vernon?
No. I think you're probably thinking of the television show.
The Remember the Titans.
Yeah, that's Remember the Titans. No, that's...
What is the nickname of your team?
We have an unusual situation in our school, Phil. We don't tell people the nickname of our team unless they have attended a certain number of games, and then we tell them. You're not in the inner circle of the Belmar Academy, blank, blank. I'll tell you that it's two words. Until you've attended, but you do not have the right. That's how we see it. We don't mean to be arrogant. It's just kind of a fun tradition.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's very unique to our team.
Well, I mean, how do you get fans to be,
How do you get fans to do what?
How do you get fans to root for you?
Well, if they come out, they root for Belmar Academy. You were just talking about the English soccer teams that don't have any real nicknames. They call them the teams have no nickname. The fans call them the, I think in the case of Tottenham, they call them the Spurs, and they call a...
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, who knows what that is, but the...
Well, who knew what a Nittany Lion was?
And now they don't care. Oh, God, that guy. Boy, someday I want to tell you all I know about Joe Paterno. I've got some stories that... I don't know what to do with these stories that I know about Joe Paterno, but...
Well, let's not talk about it, because it's just... Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, I got stories that'll just burn your... It'll cook your brain. I can't even describe it.
All right, I don't. Please don't.
If it's newsworthy,
don't. Never mind.
Well, he's got a point.
No, he doesn't have a point. No, Bud never has a point. Never mind.
Well, can I ask you something? What, are you related to Paterno?
Yeah, it sounds like you're related to him.
No, I'm not. I don't want to get sidetracked. That's what happens on this show. Sorry.
All right, okay, but I just, like I said, someday if you ever...
Thank you. I'll take you up on it.
I mean...
Woo!
Some stuff.
All right, Vernon Dozier is with us.
Yeah, you call me up after the show, Mr. Vernon, and...
Name's Dozier. Okay, let's get that straight before I start spelling anything to you.
Hold on for a... Do you mind if I do my show?
Who's stopping you?
Yeah, who's stopping you?
You are, smartass.
Yeah, I'll ask you, Mr. Dozier, are you on a railroad track or something?
No, I'm standing at a bus terminal. I can think here. I'm at a bus terminal in Glendale. Is there a problem with that?
No, it just sounded like you were standing. It sounded like a train was bearing down on you.
But I'm near the Metro Rail track, but it's actually a bus station.
You're near a Metro Rail track, and it's actually at the bus station.
Wait, hold on. Hey, do you not believe me?
No, I believe you.
Because you're at a Metro Rail track. I am at a Metro Rail track near a bus station.
You're at the track.
I'm on the track.
You said you went on the track.
Phil asked me, are you standing near the track? I said, no, I'm on the track at a bus station.
Why are you on the track?
All right, I'll get off the track. What's your problem?
Don't you think that's dangerous?
Yeah, it's dangerous, Phil, if a train is coming, but right now there is nothing for miles. I'm looking down either side, I'm having a cigar, and I felt like standing on a railroad track.
Why is that?
Because I wanted to see... You really want to know?
Yes, I do.
Because a guy told me that they empty the toilets out on the track. And I said, I don't believe you. I said, you're a liar. He said, are you kidding? Metro Rail, where do you think, you know, when somebody goes to the bathroom? I said, they stow it. And they take it off at the station. He said, no, they open up a lever, and they just let all that stuff pour out onto the track. So I'm out here now, and I've got one of these metal detectors.
But you got a metal detector on account of the dew.
Why don't you just back it off for a second, okay? I know what I'm doing.
Well, it's a good question. Why do you have a metal detector when it's human waste?
Three guesses.
Oh, I know.
What?
But go ahead.
In case somebody had to swallow a diamond ring or something.
Exactly, yeah.
In case somebody had to swallow a diamond...
But is that on account of the smuggling?
What are you... No, hold on for a minute. What are you laughing at?
I can't believe you. You're serious?
Yes, I'm serious. People are having to swallow diamonds. They're having to swallow all kinds of valuables every day because the police are after them.
Yeah, but guess what they do?
They swallow them, and then they take a you-know-what, and it goes out into the toilet.
Yeah, and that's when they are entitled to the marvelous job of retrieving it.
Not if you forget. Oh.
Well, okay, Vernon, I can see you didn't think that one out very clearly.
You know what, Phil? I didn't invest in a metal detector for nothing.
You know, I'm going to jump in and tell you right now, Phil, that you went from talking about the Harbaugh brothers...
Yeah, can we get back to... why it is.
You went from talking about the Harbaugh brothers to people swallowing rings and diamonds, defecating, and forgetting that the diamonds and rings were there, and flushing it out onto a railroad track. Am I right about that?
Yes, essentially, that's it.
Well, you know what? And then you went out and invested in a metal detector.
Yeah. So what are you going to tell me? I'm stupid?
I'm going to tell you this. No, they don't dump it out onto the track. They save it and...
They save it and what? Bake with it?
Yo!
Shut up, man.
Well, at least I was getting a laugh. Who hit him?
Don't worry about who hit him.
Phil, I don't know why you've turned on me this late in the game. I don't know why you've turned on me this late in your career. I could have helped you at one time, but now...
I'm not turning. I'm asking you a very reasonable question, and I'm shocked that you cannot answer. Why do you... You know, first of all, I'm telling you that no one in the Metro Rail company or the Metro Rail Authority dumps human waste out onto the track. That's number one, okay?
Well, look, Phil...
No, that's number one. Number two...
That's what we're talking about, number two.
Ha, 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 ha.
That's pretty good, Mr. Duden.
What did you call me?
He called you Duden. How do you feel about that?
I'm sorry, it's Dozier. I misspoke.
What do you mean you misspoke?
Because I was thinking of do and...
How do you feel?
Let me tell you something, okay?
Yeah, I knew this was going to happen.
No. I'm going to tell you something, Henry. I'm the head football coach of a little school at Glendale. You talk to me about coaches. You talk to me about the Harbaughs. You throw the Harbaughs up into my face. You throw it up into my face, okay? You might as well have had a fat lady. And I say this, and I'm sorry, Mrs. Gray, and I'm sorry to the women listening, but I've got to say this. You might as well have a fat lady sit right on my face. All right, you want to stay on sand?
Vernon.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. Now, I did something completely innocent. While I was waiting to go on the air with you, I purchased a metal detector over here at Costco. Why? Because I wanted to have something to do while I waited for you knuckleheads to put me on the air. I went out. I got a high-powered flashlight. I bought myself a lousy cigar, and I went out of the track. And I heard run in the metal detector epidemic. And then you get on the air, you tell me.
You know, you're going to have a stroke.
Shut up. You get on the air and you tell me that I'm about 300 yards of dumbass. You tell me they don't empty it out on the track. You tell me the guy's got to have to forget that he put it in his mouth and crapped it out. In other words, for me to get it. In other words, you're saying that I am dumb by the bell protection. I got to blow my nose. Hold on.
You got it?
One more time. That'll do it. You're telling me I'm stupid. You're telling me I'm dumb. You're telling me I ain't worth the I ain't worth a load of dung that it would take to grow the garden that it would take to grow the vegetables that it would take to keep me alive as an infant. I'm not worth it.
I didn't say that, but that's a
pretty descriptive.
No, not as to my feelings, but it's pretty descriptive for someone's feelings against someone they didn't like.
Oh, you like me.
I do like you, Vernon. I like you a lot. I think you're under a lot of stress. I think you've been under a lot of stress ever since you took that job at that school. The stress that you're under has not kept you from winning championships. It's not kept you from being a successful coach. But you're under a lot of stress. Anybody listening can hear it.
Well, then let them hear this. If I want to go out on the railroad track, and I want to look for it, and I want to go out, I want to look for a ring, or other valuables, I'm going to do it.
Vernon, it's Margaret.
Yeah, what do you want?
I really think you need to get off the phone now and go and talk to your wife, Tammy, and have her walk on your back or whatever she does.
Wouldn't you like to know why when Tammy gets it going?
You talking to him?
Yeah, Vernon, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Here, I'll handle it.
Bud.
I'll handle it. Vernon, yeah. Many, many times when a mother fixation kick in, and you remember your mom lip-locking you. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Okay, bud.
Hold on for a minute. It's very delicate. Bye. It's Henry. Yeah. 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 Yeah, Henry.
Will you come on, man?
Phil, this is very delicate. He's talking to him off the air. This could be a stroke situation that Bud's calming down.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, your mother, she drops you off at school. What are you going to do? I understand. I don't hold it against you. She went on to live a normal life, right? Okay. So you only did it one time. All right, Vernon. Well, you call any time. You're going to be okay. You're going to be fine, buddy. You're a great coach. Everybody will love you and everything like that. Right. You really did that with your mom, though, huh? All right, thanks so much. Okay.
What was that about?
I'm sorry. I'm not at liberty to divulge.
Why not?
Patient-client privileges with a doctor.
Get out of here with the patient-client privileges.
I think he's talking about the you-know-what between Vernon and his mother.
All right, I don't want to know about that then.
He gave it to me in graphic detail.
Yeah, I heard you laughing. I heard you really enjoying yourself, huh?
I was imagining it as a comic book. Big deal.
Are you kidding me, man?
Yeah, we can serialize it.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, some comic book, man, like Preacher Gone to Texas or something.
Yeah, with that one-eyed Jody.
One-eyed Jody. All right, so thank you very much. Vernon never did get to the whole thing as to why it is his brother and him. What was he going to say about that? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm going to find out. He said his brother won the lacrosse championship, and that's why I didn't talk to him.
Because he was trying to give his brother the business through the whole lacrosse season?
Yes, he was saying to his brother that you don't know how to coach lacrosse. You suck, whatever. And his brother went on to win the lacrosse championship with the girls' team. So Vernon didn't, you know, his razzing, I guess, didn't work.
Yeah, and his brother won.
God, what a baby. So because his brother was able to endure all the razzing that Vernon was giving him and win the championship, Vernon doesn't want to talk to him.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Well.
Yeah, Vernon, you know, you got to relax, man. Not everything is life and death, dude. Not everything is life and death.
Yeah, you know, Vernon said you talk like a baby, that Vince Lombardi would put you in a diaper and roll you down the street.
Who said that?
Vernon did.
Oh, did he really? Vince Lombardi would put me in a diaper and roll me down the street?
He's a big fan of Vince Lombardi.
Aren't we all? All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Get him back on the phone.
Wait a minute, the guy almost had a stroke. And
get him back on the phone. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What do you want?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. Truth is our bitch. If you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, you can get yourself a backstage pass, and you will then have the Milwaukee Lions, for instance, all of those podcasts, the regular daily podcast of our show that is posted and that is automatically downloaded to your fang. You also get thousands of hours of Phil Hendry Show radio going back over a decade, 5,000 hours to be exact. You have our online store. Anybody can go to the online store and buy the things that we have for you to buy there. And, of course, when you go to our online store, buy lots of stuff.
Spend a lot of money there.
Spend a lot of money. I'm kidding, of course, but you know, do what you can. Do what you can, man, to help the entrepreneurial thing, what we is all doing here, because that's America these days. The one-man show, the Phil Hendry one-man show, we're going to let you guys know, is rapidly approaching. We're in what we call our super fast-track rehearsal mode, and very excited about it, very excited about it. And as I said earlier in the show, and it bears repeating, as a matter of fact, it doesn't really bear repeating, but using the modern-day metrics of radio, I recognize that the audience has completely turned over from the first hour to now, so I can repeat everything I did in the first hour, and most people have not heard it yet because everybody's brand new to the radio right now.
What?
I'm just, never mind. So as I said in the first hour, this one-man show is something that I look forward to. I have not been this confident about anything ever. Even my first day on the radio when I was a 19-year-old punk kid.
You're really 19?
20.
Still a punk kid.
Well, yeah. I remember my first day on the radio as a 20-year-old. I was so scared I couldn't get anything out of my mouth. The first day I was on the air.
It's kind of different for you, Margaret, huh?
What are you talking about?
Your first day on the job, you couldn't get anything in your mouth. And then, yeah, that, oh, right in the groin.
That's right.
Okay, does that teach you a lesson?
Ain't you gonna do nothing about it?
No, I'm not going to do anything about it.
My first day on the job, I couldn't get anything in my mouth. You know?
Wow! Woo! Direct hit.
That's right.
Man, Mr. Henry, you got to defend a guy who gets attacked like that.
No, I'm not going to defend. How many times have I told this idiot? How many times have I told you?
Two.
Bull crap.
You're only two times.
Oh, knock it off, will you?
I can't breathe.
Come on, man. You gotta give it some air. Loosen your belt.
Yeah. Yeah. Knock it off.
That's right. There's more where that came from.
Bud, will you quit with the melodrama? All right. So, join us online at philhendryshow.com and our one-man show. That's gonna be really, really, really exciting. In other news, so how about that, huh? Vernon and his brother, and the Harbaughs are not speaking, and I don't really know why. Now, the biggest story out of the Super Bowl, by the way, the power going down, which was explained by the city of New Orleans the next day, they had something to do with the Beyoncé's performance and some kind of an intermittent power surge and whatnot. You know, they turned that into a big controversy. You know that, don't you?
What do you mean?
They turned it into some big conspiracy theory, like, oh, man, this was designed to do something to either team. If you're a 49er fan, it was designed to further disrupt the 49ers. If you were a Ravens fan, it was designed to do what a lot of people said it did do, which was to take the 49ers' head, or excuse me, the Ravens' head out of the football game. I don't think personally, I don't think people understand football, you know.
Well, what makes you think you understand football, Phil?
I don't. It's not that I understand football. It's that I just listen to what people say. I listen to what they say. I don't understand football any better than the average fan. But when a kicker or when a coach says in an interview, you know, there's really no such thing as icing a kicker, I believe them.
What do you mean there's no such thing as icing? How come all the coaches do it?
I mean, the coaches, I don't know that coaches actually call timeouts to ice kickers. I think maybe they do it as a desperation move, thinking maybe this one time. But every professional kicker that I've ever heard asked about that, when they say, you know, does that get on your nerves? When they call a timeout just before you're going to kick the ball. And I've heard people say, among them, the guy that used to kick for the Cowboys, I forget his name, Septian. He said it never rattled me. It gave me more time to kind of get set and get prepared. And he went on to say, if you're a professional at this level in this game, that stuff doesn't rattle you. That doesn't bother you. So it's hard for me to imagine a professional coach believing, unless he knows something about an individual kicker, maybe this guy, and he tends to be nervous. Who knows? And the same thing goes with this whole pushing and shoving. And when I saw Rex Ryan do the crap that he was doing, they're going to tell you, most coaches that know what they're doing, that stuff doesn't intimidate anybody getting in their face. It may inspire your players.
Well, that's the guy you talked about, Rex Ryan. You said that guy ought to be fired.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Phil. You said that that man, Rex Ryan, should be fired. And I felt that you were very judgmental. I think it went back to the fact that he enjoys his wife's feet. And I think you had a real problem with that. And I think you need to be honest about that. Because there is really very little time in this world for people to have successful marriages. He enjoys his wife's feet. And there, you know, we don't have enough of that.
Well, hold on for just a minute. When did I ever give you the impression that I wanted him fired because he, you know, had a fetish?
Look, excuse me. Could you stop with that word fetish? Because I think it puts into the listeners' minds a certain kind of perversity, perverseness. You know what I mean by that, right?
Yes. Perverseness, as in, you know, aberrant and weird.
Yes. It gives the audience the impression, Phil, that you think that Mr. Ryan is some kind of thing as opposed to a man. And then when you say, you know, so...
All right, Mark, can we get to the point here?
The point is he enjoys the foot. He enjoys his wife's feet. Can you say that?
No, I can't. I'm not going to... Yes, he enjoys his wife's feet.
Oh, my God, you've really got a problem with that, don't you?
Yeah, what's wrong with you saying that a guy enjoys his wife's foot?
Enjoys one foot or both?
Maybe he only enjoys one foot.
It could be one foot. In Rex Ryan's case, he enjoys the feet. He enjoys feet. Any woman's feet.
Okay, so what has that got to do with his coaching?
I think it prejudiced you. You think because Ryan enjoys feet or enjoys foot that he doesn't belong as the head coach. You're wrong, Phil Henry. You're dead wrong. I'm Mark McRae.
Hey.
Don't be a smartass.
We'll be right back. World famous enjoys foot. Phil Henry Show.
He does. He enjoys foot.
Phil Henry.
That's the proper way to say it.
Yeah, we got a lot of proper ways of saying it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
I know,
Phil Henry.
All right. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch. And we welcome you here to our final hour of the radio shoe. Now, there is a big storm that I probably should mention. Lots of snow all over the country. There's only one place where it ain't snowing. Well, there's probably more than one place where it ain't snowing. One place it ain't snowing is here.
That's right.
And probably some other places, but it's snowing like a son of a gun in back east, as well as here in Southern California in the mountains. Not down here at the El Pacifico. It don't snow at the ocean around here.
What they like when it snows at the ocean?
Yeah, they like the ocean freeze up.
No, it doesn't freeze up.
Why not?
It's salt water. It's not going to freeze. Well, I shouldn't say it's salt water won't freeze. Salt water will freeze at a certain temperature, but it's got to be pretty cold, I think, right?
I don't know that it has anything to do with being salt water. I think it needs to be... It needs to be... What are you giving me the oh...
I'm waiting.
Well, I've got to wait for you, Ms. Gray.
Excuse me. In order for salt water, it has to be way up north.
That's it. It has to be way up north.
Oh, so you're blowing it off.
No, I'm not blowing it off. I just don't know that that's the answer, okay?
Where are icebergs?
Miss Gray.
Where are icebergs located?
Up north.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, why are you looking as if you think that I'm mentally handicapped and you're just going to humor me until you put the board games away? You know what I mean? In other words, I'm in a day room.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm not looking. I don't believe, or it's not that I don't believe. I don't agree with your assessment. I don't know why we have icebergs. I don't know why the ocean doesn't freeze and then sometimes it does. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. Just call me Lil Wayne. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. All right?
Well, some stuff Lil Wayne knows.
Yeah, so at least Lil Wayne knows some stuff.
Oh, and I don't know anything, huh?
Well,
in any event, there is a nor'easter, as they say, back east, and that is a storm that is slamming the northeast. A blizzard slamming into New England and New York, with forecasters warning that it may bring up to 3 feet of snow and disrupt the lives of 40 million people. I don't imagine they put it that way, do they?
Well, they're not going to say that, no.
I think they ought to say this storm will disrupt the lives of 40 million people.
Maybe they ought to do their forecast that way. We have a storm on its way. And what about it, Bob? Well, it'll disrupt the lives of 40 million people. Don't tell me how cold. Don't tell me, because that's more to the point, you know. 40 million people's lives will be disrupted.
Well, you'll scare some people that way.
Yeah, you'll scare people. You'll scare the hell out of them, but you probably get right to the point, you know. Well, we're going to get 3 feet of snow. Everybody's doing the math. And everybody is going to the same place. How will this screw my life up over the next couple of weeks? A blizzard predicted to be of epic proportions is pounding the northeast, already bringing home more than a foot. It's pounding, and it's slamming, and it's slamming the... It's basically a storm that's slamming the head of the northeast into the headboard. Now then...
How dare you...
All right, I'm kidding. Shut up, bud.
Northeast is a woman.
Are you just getting it? So, by 12:30 a.m. Eastern Time, about 500,000 homes and businesses had lost electricity as wet snow, freezing rain, and howling winds caused havoc.
That's a blues singer, right?
No, Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah.
All
right. So, is that what you're going to do? Just interrupt every time you hear something?
Everybody else gets to interrupt and be funny.
Bud, not everybody else is interrupting and being funny. Everybody else is interrupting. Everybody else is butting in. I got no choice. Is that what you're going to do, too? I think more of you, bud. I expect more of you.
Well,
no, I do. I do. I expect more out of you. These two?
Don't point at me like I'm a gloit.
Just these two. They butt in whenever they want, however they want.
Mr. Henry.
Hold on. You, bud, I expect more from. You? Bud, you're like my son.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you're like my son, bud, and I just think someday I may... turn the business over to you, you know?
Bud, don't believe...
Hold on. And because I'm going to turn the business over to you, would you mind taking these coffee cups out of here and rinsing them out?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
What a dirty trick.
Oh, shh. Shh. He meant ears. All right, anyway, so by 12:30, 500,000 homes and businesses had lost electricity as wet snow, freezing rain, and howling winds and Howlin' Wolf caused havoc. Howlin' Wolf was up there singing that I Ain't Superstitious. It was bad. Most of the outages were in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. More than 16 inches, period, of snow. I'm kidding.
That, you know something, I'm a lady.
I understand, sorry. More than 16 inches of snow has fallen in Mansfield, Massachusetts, just southwest of Boston, where they had the Boston Massacre and that TV show John Adams and a bunch of other really cool historic stuff happen. More than 18 inches. Cover parts of central Connecticut. And the worst is not expected until late Saturday. The worst is yet to come. If you don't think your life has been disrupted yet. I'm just reading this, folks, the way they want me to, the way they'd hope that I would, the way that they're going to be able to sell their point, whatever it is, more effectively. The National Weather Service has warned blizzard warnings are in effect. So the National Weather Service is warning that blizzard warnings are in effect for the New York City metro area and many coastal sections of New England. Hurricane winds up to 75 miles an hour are also possible. So the storm is called Nemo. As part of a new effort to name winter storms, the Weather Channel, Dan, not the National Weather Service, the Weather Channel is now telling us how to live.
Yay!
Thank you, Weather Service.
What say that?
Yeah, why are you saying they're trying to tell us how to live?
Well, the Weather Channel is not an official government agency, and I'm not knocking the Weather Channel, but I am saying this. It can get a little confusing. If the Weather Channel finally says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to name this storm, and we'll name it Nemo, and that's just the way it's going to be. And the National Weather Service says, just hold on just a second. Maybe we want to call it Seymour.
Well, Phil, I think at that point they're going to have to go with the Weather Channel.
It stands to reason.
Maybe the Weather Channel, I wouldn't.
You going to make a big deal out of it?
Yeah, I'm going to make a big deal out of it. If I'm the Weather Service, and I've got what I'm charged with protecting the American people and letting them know. The Weather Channel is charged with one thing, getting as much money from advertisers as they can. It's two completely different motives. Two completely different.
Well, I'm glad you're not cynical.
Hey, I gotta be cynical. They pay me to be cynical. Well, they pretend to pay me to be cynical. Now, the National Weather Service is what protects the American people and informs about weather. And along comes the Weather Channel, and they say, oh, and by the way, we're calling it Nemo. And I say, well, I'm sorry, but I had the name Seymour lined up. Well, I guess you're flat out of luck. So I'm forced into calling it Nemo.
Well, what difference does it possibly make, Phil?
It might matter to me. It might matter to me. Then again, it might not. But I might feel very bad about the fact that I'm forced, with a gun to my head, with a gun, the barrel of which is shoved down my throat, and I'm sweating and shaking because the figurative wives and daughters of the National Weather Service, which would be the American people, are being held hostage. I've got the gun in my mouth.
What about, man? You are really making some big stuff out of nothing here, man. All we're talking about is naming a damn storm Nemo.
That's what I'm trying to tell him. I don't understand why you're making a panic out of this.
I'm just telling you. This is a matter of what it is a matter of these are areas of power, and I'm kidding.
I knew you were kidding, and you strung him along.
You strung him, strung him along.
Margaret, you're sounding more and more like a man as the show goes on, okay?
Not my fault.
So anyway, as the worst is not expected till late Saturday, the Weather Service is warning these blizzards are going to take effect as a new part of the effort. It's called Nemo, and that's because all the names that started with N had been taken, like Nancy, Numnan.
Numman.
Numman.
Nancy, there's Ned, Neil, Nadine.
Not a lot of them.
There's, I had a cousin named Nugentine.
You had a cousin named what?
Nugentine.
Yeah, I had a cousin named Nugentine.
No, you did not have a cousin named Nugentine.
How did you know?
Because you're a mental deficient. You know, everything that's said, you repeat as if it's...
I think I had one.
You had a cousin named Nugentine.
No, I had a cousin. That was named Nadine or Ed.
Nadine or Ed.
Yeah.
All right, so in any event, finding Nemo hasn't been an issue. Ha, 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 ha. It's been leaving noticeable havoc. The snow caused a 19-car, 4-hour pileup on I-295 near Cumberland, Maine. Can you imagine that? 19 cars, 4 hours, blizzard conditions. Oh, God. Several people had minor injuries, police said. In Vermont, which could get 4 to 16 inches of snow, the snow is being blamed for a series of crashes on I-89 in Bolton and South Burlington. This is in Vermont. 2 people were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. You know, one of the things that I wonder about storms, how do cops, I guess cops just don't do high-speed chases, do they?
No, they're not going to put the public safety.
Yeah, they can't do it. It'll run over a kid or something.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. If there isn't enough snow in the Northeast, there's some snow in the San Bernardino Mountains surrounding the city of Los Angeles. Not that that's big news in and of itself, but there is a fugitive on the loose in those very mountains, in that very snow, and the long arm of the law, as you know, knows no rest. They are now up there in the mountains, who knows how many cops, searching for this fugitive, a cop killer, and... a lot of thick snow up there in the San Bernardino Mountains. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I guess this is lawyer night tonight. Harvey Weierman's going to join us. I'll tell you what, it is always a pleasure to have Harvey Weierman on the show. I can't think of a guy that I, especially after, you know, dealing with Frank Gray. Frank's a nice guy, but, you know, Harvey, you always lend a little bit more credibility to the proceedings. Good to have you with us.
Well, yeah, thank God for Frank Gray. He's a great attorney, but the problem with the syphilitica, which I think your audience is familiar with, the psychosyphilitica. This is a form, it's a mental disorder that is the result of an untreated venereal disease. And fortunately, thank God, knock wood, and I know everyone is happy for this. Frank's family, Margaret, all of the grandkids are happy that their grandfather, when he had sex with that prostitute, And I guess that's a bad thing to say, but the form of syphilis that he contracted from the three or four different prostitutes that...
All right, I think we're, you know, running the man down.
I don't mean to run the man down, Phil. I'm just, I'm simply saying, thank God, knock wood, and I'm sure his grandchildren and...
You know, it's just the fact the grandchildren knock wood, and then you say of the prostitutes, you know...
Well, this is, I think the grandkids are aware of it. I think everyone laughs it off now. It was a long time ago, you know. But I think now everyone gets around and sits around the table, and Frank tells stories of when his mind was not rotting away. And I think the grandkids enjoy it. The family enjoys hearing these tales of when his mind wasn't coming undone.
You're almost...
So, do me a favor, will you? Quit trying to interpret what I'm saying and just go with it. Just let it ooze out, and you just sit in it and let it either ooze you down. I can't.
I know what you're trying to say. And, by the way, this is Margaret Gray, Frank's wife.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, uh-huh. I was sitting here listening to all of that, Harvey.
Well, look, I did not mean any... Did I say anything that wasn't true?
No, you didn't, but I don't think it was necessary to go on and on and on.
I apologize, but I'm simply saying that Frank is a wonderful man.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's get off of that, please. Get off of Frank.
Well, there's only one person that can really do that, and, well...
Is that supposed to be mean me?
No, it's not.
You are lying.
Can we stop with the fighting here, folks?
You were about to say interracial, weren't you?
No, I was not. We just stop with the fighting. Harvey Weierman joining us. And, Harvey, I was asking you to come on the program because I know you're not an entertainment attorney, but you are familiar with entertainment law to a degree because I know you've been involved in union disputes. I know that you've been involved in, you're involved in the Jennifer Kuefer when she was trying to get out of her contract at Sony.
Oh, yeah. Well, we worked with Jennifer. She was a young kid. She didn't know what she was doing. She's a very fine actress. She signed a deal with Sony that was, we felt, usurious, and we felt it was in her best interest to extract herself, to pull herself free, and to reinsert herself in a more advantageous angle. So, in other words, we had to retrieve her and then turn her around and reinsert so that there wouldn't be the damage that had been initially done.
What are you talking about? Hardware?
He's talking about an actress.
Well, what do you mean reinsert?
I think I just said...
You're talking about getting her back together with Sony?
Getting her back together with who? I'm just saying we extracted her from... Yes, Sony. I don't know where we got her out of, and I don't know where we put her back into. I was brought in, Phil, if you'll just listen to me, okay?
Sorry.
I was brought in as an extraction expert. I was brought in by Jim Luffield and his firm. And they said, Harvey, you're the only guy we know that can do this. And I said, fine. So I pulled her free, dusted her off, turned her upside down, and put her back in.
Are these legal terms?
Harvey, are these legal terms?
Yeah, I suppose they're legal terms.
Could you interpret?
I don't know. I don't think I will. I have too much respect for the integrity of my profession and the stuff that I do.
All right. Getting back to what we wanted you to talk about, we were discussing show business, and we got into the subject of Charles Bronson. Charles Bronson, the reason why we're talking about Charles Bronson, because there's an awful lot of snow up in the mountains today. Around California, Southern California, and there's a fugitive, a wanted fugitive up there.
That's right.
And this is this guy, Dorner?
Yes, sir, there absolutely is, and he's a dangerous man. And you're talking about the Charles Bronson film that he made where he was up in the hills, right?
Yeah. Do you know the name of it?
I don't know the name of it. I've got the names of some of the movies that Bronson was in, if I can go through them. And I've got the... get the glasses for me, honey. Yeah, you can go get Grandpa's glasses. Phil, Charles Bronson was in a number of films that were very memorable. He was in a film called Battle of the Bulge.
That's Battle of the Bulge.
Well, I don't know. How do you know that?
What year?
It was. was, it's the one with the upside down nine.
What? You know, Harvey...
Just don't... What's the one with the upside down nine?
Six!
All right, so it's nine, one, and it's an upside down six.
Nine!
And that one, that's just an I?
No, that's the number one.
What's the upside down six?
Oh, my God.
Harvey, are you serious?
Well, you... Listen, buddy. I don't have my glasses. Okay, thank you, honey. These are the... This is the Disneyland glasses. Oh, my God. Get the right glasses.
1965 is when Battle of the Bulge was made.
All right, 19. So that's a movie that was Charles Bronson, right?
Yes.
All right. Bronson has done some legendary... Here's one here. He did one called... Rawahide. And Rawahide was with the upside down six and the upside down nine. He played a guy by the name of Lingamana in Rawahide.
I don't know what Rawahide is.
You, I'm telling you, it was a movie. What is wrong with you?
Well, Rawahide, that's Charles Bronson.
Yes. Is everybody a Charles Bronson expert there? Is that what I'm dealing with?
No, Harvey. I like Charles Bronson. I'd recognize what movie it was.
He was in Rawahide with the I and the upside down nine and an upside down six.
Well, in the year 196 A.D.
Are you trying to be funny?
No, are you trying to be funny? What do you mean the upside down nine and the upside down six?
It's got the upside down nine, the upside down six, and the S and the straight looking S.
1965.
All right, well, you're yelling at you. Give me my glasses, honey. These aren't the glasses either. These are the Bozo glasses. Hey, I got to talk to my daughter. Dorothy, honey, get the glass. She's bringing me the Bozo glass. She gave me the Disneyland. I know we took her to Disneyland. I don't want the Bozo. I want my reading glasses. Hold on. All right. Rawahide was in the one that looks like an I.
I got to tell you.
Will you not interrupt me? The one that looks like an I, an upside down six, an upside down nine, and then the S.
That 1965
for Rawahide.
I'm trying to think of what Rawahide. How do you spell it?
It's spelled, well, here we go again. It's spelled, it's a straight. Do you want me to actually do this?
No, never mind. Don't. All right, what else?
Well, hold on, because my iPhone locked up. I have it passcode protected, and because of your big mouth, it locked up. Okay, then he was in another one called Bagvellier.
I don't know.
It's the same. I guess that's 1965. It's got a straight up and down with an upside down nine. Bagvellier and Rawahide.
Big Valley.
I know. I told you, Bagvellier. Don't tell me what it is.
I got to get rid of him. You can't call it that. Unt.
I'm telling you, Unt is as close as we can get.
It's called Death Hunt.
Well, what's the movie that Charles Bronson was in?
That's the movie I'm asking you about, Harvey. I'm asking about a Charles Bronson movie where he's a fugitive. The one Dan was talking about. That's Death Hunt.
Get my glasses before I kill someone. Just hold on, Phil. Dorothy, get my glasses. I will take my own granddaughter hostage. I'm telling you right now, Dan, back away. I've been asking for my glasses for the last probably 6 months, and every time I ask my granddaughter to get glasses, she comes back with the Bozo glasses. I can only think that the adults are trying to pull something on me. Because every time I ask for glasses, you people are here. Come up, let's go. I know that she's your daughter. She's my granddaughter.
What's going on, Harvey?
I'm telling you right now something's going on. Every time I've asked for my glasses, My little granddaughter Courtney comes back with bozo. Or the bozo glasses, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Harvey, what do you expect is happening?
Who's this? Sounds like a man.
It's Margaret, you... What do you think is happening?
What I think is happening is my son-in-law, Irving, Edgar, I forget you. What's your name again? Dave. I think Dave... Phone away from me. Take the phone away from me. My granddaughter's trying to grab the phone, Phil. Dave, I'm talking on the radio right now. I'm talking to the Phil Henry Show right now, okay? See, you know these people.
Well, the last time I talked to you, you were having a streaming match with your granddaughter and your daughter and your son-in-law in the parking lot of a Whole Foods because she bought feed bags, right?
That's my daughter. That's not my granddaughter. My granddaughter isn't old enough to buy feed bags.
I know that. I'm saying you had a dispute with them.
I've got a hell of a dispute. Hold on. Your name's what? Deacon Darren.
Who are you talking to?
My son-in-law. All right.
You don't know your son-in-law's name.
Well, just hold on. I'll let the audience overhear this. It's what? Darren. And my daughter is Dottie and Courtney. Okay, I got it straight. Dottie, you and Dorothy. No. You're Dorothy. I hate this. God, I hate this.
Harvey, you got to slow down, okay?
All right, look. Dottie, you and your husband are up to something. Every time I ask for my reading glasses, my granddaughter comes back with Bozo the Clown glasses. Why? That's not good enough. Why? What? Okay. All right, that makes sense.
Well?
I broke my reading glasses, and they've been trying to get me to go into the doctor to get new ones.
And you don't remember any of that?
Not really, no. I'm a busy man. All right, I'll accept that. Bring the Bozo glasses, then. I'll use those.
How can you see anything with Bozo glasses?
I'll make it work. So those are the movies of Charles Bronson, Phil, and great star. Thank you, honey. Here's the Bozo glasses.
Oh, God, I'm blind. I'm blind!
That's right, they're pinwheels. Never mind, Phil.
All right, thank you very much, Harvey Wireman.
Well, Phil, he was about to get into some good stuff.
Yeah.
What good stuff?
I don't know. What do you mean, pinwheel?
He's got on Bozo glasses. How do I know? He got these glasses, his daughter, his granddaughter, whoever. And then he doesn't remember going... That guy's in trouble. I think he's just getting old. I think he's getting older than everybody else. All right, so up in... So that was the movie that Charles Bronson was in, Death Hunt. Residents in the San Bernardino Mountains have survived earthquakes and forest fires. They have endured bark beetle infestations, and now a massive manhunt for a fugitive ex-police officer, Christopher Jordan Dorner. Now, Dorner, a former Los Angeles Police Department officer suspected of three deaths, has so far eluded authorities, and the cold weather and snowfall have hampered some of the search efforts on Friday. His torch pickup was discovered on Thursday on a forest road between Bear Mountain and Snow Summit ski resorts. Authorities discovered a set of fresh tracks leading away from the vehicle, but that trail ran cold. By dusk on Friday, law enforcement agencies began scaling back their search of the rugged slopes and backcountry cabins done via snowmobiles, snowcats, and helicopters, and cash registers were ringing up purchases made by weekend skiers and tourists who came to enjoy the first blizzard of the season.
Well, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Why?
Why?
You've got a man, they're in a manhunt, Phil, and people are skiing.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the cops have... Don't you think the cops have said something?
Well, what are they going to say? You've got people out there skiing, right?
You've got people, you know, look, the cops don't want to disrupt the business. There's business that's being done up there. Bear Mountain, Snow Summit, that's Big Bear Lake. That's around Big Bear Lake, isn't it? So there's a lot of tourism. There's a lot of stuff happening up there, and I'm sure the cops don't want to.
Man, this makes for a good movie.
Yeah, you could have a movie where the guy, you know, kidnaps a kid, and then they have a manhunt in the middle of it.
Oh, that's just great, bud. Thanks for giving the guy an idea, huh?
Oh, look at the ego on you. Yes, this man's listening to your show.
Look, I don't want anybody making light of this. This guy killed people, and the cops are looking for him. This guy killed people, and the cops are looking for him. Now, you made a point that he's up there in an area where there are lots and lots of people. that people are up there vacationing, so on and so forth. And I think that that's a very good point. I don't doubt that the police have contingency. They probably have more cops up there than you could shake a stick at. They probably the San Bernardino cops, the highway patrol, the Big Bear, the whatever they got. Let's see, a procession of cars and buses crept up the mountain. Fleets of snowplows took to the streets. Emergency response crews and four-wheel drive vehicles were dispatched to the rescue to rescue stranded motorists. Restaurants and watering holes bustled. Utility crews and meter readers tended to leaking pipes. And if you go up to Big Bear Lake, there's a place called the edge of the Arctic Circle. That's what it's called, and it's a The reason why they call it the Arctic Circle, it's an enormous, vast precipice between two ranges. It looks like a two mountains. And the highway that is on its way up to Big Bear there from, it goes all the way down to the Interstate 10. The highway up there literally goes around, it's a long looping section of the mountain highway that goes around this mountain. And they call it the Arctic Circle, I guess, because it just has this sense that you're on the edge of the world. And when it gets cold and it gets icy, it is one dangerous piece of road because the cars have gone off of that thing, man.
You mean like they've gone down a mountain?
Yeah, they've gotten off of that highway and they have rolled down the mountain. So I think they've instituted not only speed limits up there, but they also have reinforced guardrails and stuff like that. Now, with all of this snow... And this is pretty good looking. So, I mean, if you're a skier, you love this stuff because it's all powder and everything. But sooner or later, it starts getting packed down into ice, and then things get really fun. So that's one hell of a snowfall they got up there. And they've got a guy that's escaped into the backcountry. Vacationers Toby Vanna, age 39, and his wife Leonida of Milani, Hawaii, echoed the sentiments of many new arrivals on Friday as they admired the glistening snow through a restaurant window at the Northwoods Resort Hotel in Big Bear Village. I wasn't so concerned about personal safety, given that the suspect has a specific target and is on the run. He has a specific target? I was more concerned about roadblocks creating bottlenecks and delays. We came to ski, and we can't wait, his wife added, as a man was crawling through the night with a rifle looking to kill anything he saw. I'm kidding.
That you... Didn't you just say, be serious?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, well, you broke your own law. You broke your own rule.
I did. I'm sorry. But all of a sudden, the response of that woman sort of...
What? Just she wants to enjoy herself?
Well, the guy, you know, as long as he's a suspect with a specific target, what specific target? Is he going to go kill somebody? Well, all I want to do is ski, okay? So this guy can do whatever he wants as long as he stays away from me. Meanwhile, there's cops up there risking their lives. All right.
Oh, God, Phil, get off your high horse, okay? The people are up there to enjoy themselves.
I understand. I'm not knocking it. And then she picked up her ski and went outside and hid behind a wall as he opened fire. No, so that was that. Meanwhile, it was quiet in the Best Western Big Bear lobby on Friday night. Jeez, that place is usually just rock and roll. I'm kidding. Anyway, it was quiet in the Best Western Big Bear lobby on Friday night. Stephanie Castillo manned the front desk alone with not much to do. She said, yeah, sometimes people come down, they want change for the Coke machine. Sometimes they want to get some of them gummy bears. I usually sit here and gnaw on a chicken leg, she said. Ha, 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 I'm only kidding. We emptied out because of... No, bud.
Did you really say that?
No, get away. No, she didn't. I'm kidding. She said, we emptied out because of this, she said, referring to the manhunt, but we refilled with media and police. Castillo said she has canceled 10 reservations from tourists since news broke the Dorner might be in the area, but over the last 2 days, a steady stream of reporters and police with rifles slung over their shoulders have booked rooms instead. Police with rifles slung over their shoulders, huh?
Well, they've got to stay somewhere.
I just hope we don't have any those cornball jackasses. Oh, boy. You hope that Jay Santos isn't up there, huh?
Oh, man, if that jackball go up there, that's a bad one.
Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, if you got a bunch of guys going up there with their rifles and their phony baloney badges, and it could be a real cluster you-know-what. So they cleared out. Boy, I'll tell you, that's like if you guys are thinking of going up to the mountains and getting a cheap room, now's the time because everybody cleared out because of that manhunt. If you're willing to risk your life, the skiing's great.
Well, they'll risk their life when they go skiing.
Yeah, a lot of us risk our lives going skiing anyway, so what's the difference? All right, we'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. See if Jay Sanis is up there. Get his...
What's his cell number?
I don't know. Look it up.
Go, snow line?
A snow line? I don't know.
There must be some back number for him.
I don't... Look it up. What are you guys asking me? We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Here it is, Jay Sanis, in case it snows.
The Phil Hendry Show.
So the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we thank Bud Dickman. Good job, Bud, tracking Jay down. Jay is actually in a one of the sub-commander SUVs. You were in Big Bear Lake, Jay, and where are you now?
Well, right now we're coming down the mountain. We're just on our way down to Arrowhead to pick up some other vehicles. We're going to come back up the other way. And this time we're going to have to talk to some of the highway patrol that have been manning some of the posts are coming up. They're checking for they're checking for chains. Make sure you have on chains. So I would say, if anybody come up mountain tonight, make sure you have your chains on, and make sure that you, if you have a front wheel drive vehicle, that you're going to put the chains on front wheel. And that's something they don't tell you. And we were certainly apprised of that. And I come down the hill and chain the chain.
Say that again.
Well, I don't want to say it again. Subcommander Gleason. Is Subcommander Gleason, you're supposed to put the chains on the back tire. No, you don't. You put it on with the front tire. Yeah, if you have front-wheel drive. Right, so we just want to let people know that, because that was something we did, and we told our highway patrol, we said, you guys got to get your stuff together, because you guys are really lagging behind. I said, you got a guy that's up here, you got a killer, want to go up and kill a guy? Okay, great, get your cookies. But meantime, you got me putting chains on the front tire, which is where they should have been. I understand that.
Jay, if you got a front-wheel drive car, which I don't know, what kind of car did you have?
We came up with one of the guys got an old AMC Pacer, I think, something like that. What'd you have, please?
It was my wife.
Yeah, his wife's car. And so I said to him, you got to be about 100 miles of just real Lloyd. And I said, let's change it up. So he did.
Well, I got to tell you, Jay, I would think that a Citizens Auxiliary Police, but then I don't know,
Citizens Auxiliary Police, what? You'd think we what? Take it in the shorts?
No, that you'd know to put chains on a front-wheel drive car on the front tires.
Do I look like Dale Earnhardt? Well, no, if I looked like Dale Earnhardt, I would be...
Don't say it, Jay, okay?
What do you mean? If I looked like Dale Earnhardt, I'd be in a box. That's what I was going to say.
That, you know something, man? Every time I talk to you, there's some kind of... I want to know about the manhunt. What do you know?
Well, the manhunt right now, Phil, is underway, full swing. They have deployed units up into the upper reaches of Snow Summit, Bear Mountain. Bear Mountain, we're not talking about no candy cane, little kitty. It's not a little kitty time. Get up Bear Mountain, you got to know tactics. You got to know... you have to have weaponry tactics, camping, campfire... dehydrated food, you gotta know how to, I guess you just should wear warm clothing and everything. So it's very important, and right now they feel that Mr. Dorner's up there. We are going to park our vehicle, and we will scale Bear Mountain. I mean, I don't want to go all the way up there because I've got an issue with heights. I can't go up more than, say, 20 feet, so... But we are going to scout up that high.
Wait, you're going to scout up how far?
We'll go 20 feet. We'll go 20 feet up the mountain.
20 feet up the mountain. And then what?
And then we'll turn around and go back and have something to eat. Why? I didn't come on your program made fun of, okay?
I'm going to go up the mountain first.
Yeah, Gleason's going to go up the mountain further.
Because you have a fear of heights.
Because you have a fear of... Yes, because I have a fear of heights. What is the point of having me on your program if all you want to do is hold me at ridicule?
Jay, I'm wondering what exact... effectiveness you can have up there at Big Bear Lake looking for a guy on Bear Mountain when you have a fear of heights and you can only go 20 feet up the mountain.
Because I'm setting up Gleason.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, Gleason, I can't hold him back. He is one hell of a law enforcement officer. Okay? I can't hold you back, can I?
Can't hold me back. I'm going to go up the mountain.
All right. So we're going to do that. Meantime, I'll be down in the lodge. I'm going to have some, probably, when we get up there, we'll get some clam chowder. and you know, I want to get some postcards just in the hotel lobby. But then bright and early tomorrow morning, we will set out probably by 6 a.m. I'll set up base camp at 20 feet, and that's, I figure that's where I'll get, you know, nervous. So I'll set up base camp there, and then Gleason, you'll go the rest of the way, right?
Okay.
Well, that's great, Jay. And what time are you getting up?
Well, we're going to set up base camp at 6 a.m. I want breakfast, and I also want to get some postcards. And they've got, I just saw a thing in the lobby. They got a little Smokey the Bear keychain, so I get for my daughter. Let's see, what else? Oh, and then I don't want you to think, we do want to reserve for the ski, you know, we want to do a little skiing, so we got to reserve some equipment, you know, some skis.
You know, Jay, if you're going up there to track a guy...
Well, don't start preaching to me, okay? I'm going to come up here and ignore this, the powder. Of course we're going to go skiing.
Of course you're going to go skiing. You got a lot of cops up there risking their lives.
And that's exactly what we do at a Citizens Auxiliary Police, Mr. Harry. We, you know... We risk our lives. It's about saving a life.
It's about what?
About saving a life.
It's about saving a life, Mr. Dan.
Yeah, but you got to get yourself some skiing in, and you're buying a little Smokey the Bear keychain, and you're also going to get some postcards, and you want to get up early enough to have some breakfast. Why do you get up early?
Because that's when they... Why do we have to get up early? Because we want to get up and set up base camp.
At 20 feet, and then Gleason goes, how Mr. Gleason... How far up the mountain are you going to go?
Probably go up to, I don't know, where is he? We don't know. That's the whole thing. You got to go up until you find him. Yeah, I'll go up until I find him.
That would be like...
He's like way, way up. I don't know. Well, he's way up 10,000 feet or a billion feet. How high does the mountain go?
How high is... Well, what do you mean how high? I mean, it's probably about 7,000 feet.
No. Well, I'm sure he's going to go up that high.
Boy, you cats really don't know what you're doing, man. You really don't.
Mr. Henry, you can do all the beatnik talk you want.
Beatnik. You guys really don't know what you're doing. You're up there getting in the way. I hope you don't get shot.
I can assure you, Mr. Henry, that's not going to happen. No brother officer is going to shoot another brother officer. Okay?
Okay, I agree with that. And no officer is going to shoot an unarmed civilian either if the person's not wanted for a crime. But you knuckleheads running around up there with your pith helmets. And by the way, you know, there's a lot of snow, and I don't think anybody's in any white camouflage. What are you wearing?
Well, we put on white camouflage.
That's what I was afraid. Why?
Hello, what do you think you wear when you're in a tactical situation in a mountain?
You put on white camouflage if you're fighting another army, not if you got one guy you're looking for.
Say that again.
You know, Jay, stay the hell off that mountain. You're going to get shot.
We got orange. The pit helmets we painted orange.
Oh, great. Okay, well, in case there's any deer hunters, they'll know that you are, you got an orange pit helmet.
Yeah, maybe it's a deer with a pit helmet. I thought about that. It's not very likely. I think it's kind of funny that you had a deer with a pit helmet. I don't think that's very likely. Okay. So, Phil.
All right, well, good. The best of luck to you. Do you want me to, any last words for your wife in case you get shot?
What a hell of a thing to say, Phil. That's a hell of a thing.
I'm sorry, but you're acting like a moron.
Tell him I'm bringing back the Smokey the Bear keychain. Forget it.
Jay Santos is up at Big Bear with his orange pith helmet, and they're wearing all white because that's what you wear. That's the camouflage you wear in snow. Well, that's great. That means every cop up there with a gun won't see you, Jay. Maybe that's a blessing. I don't know. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry and Dan Northcraft. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com for all of your dancing and listening pleasure. Get a backstage pass and have access to those thousands and thousands of hours of Marvy, Phil Henry Show material. All right, guys, we will see you on Monday night at 10 Pacific, 1 a.m. Tuesday morning Eastern Time. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.